Hello, welcome to the program. I'm David Cruz. With me in studio today is such a multifaceted person, I don't know how to describe her. Let me just begin with her name, Cori Oliver. Cori, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
So you have been an actress. You are in the entertainment business in various capacities. I would imagine that also because you have a ministry about marriage, there are so many aspects of your life that people don't know that I'd like to begin there. How do you describe yourself?
That's a great question, David. First of all, I describe myself as a mom. That's my greatest achievement. I have one daughter. She's 20. She's the love of my life. And she doesn't define me, but she defines my love. She really, really taught me a lot about love. And I feel as though I'm a daughter of the Most High King, God. And that would be my first definition, I guess.
And that's a great way to begin. Especially because of the fabulous, the so impactful. I've heard the song, I Am Somebody's Daughter, I'm Somebody's Daughter. This recording is so timely, and we're going to play a part of it so that the entire conversation from here will sort of revolve around the message that this song contains. Please join me as we hear part of it.
Holly told me on first embrace, you tell your sons and when they face first dates, engagement and marriage and kids, all the things you encourage and those you forbid. Be cool, be transparent like water. My son's your chain.
Is such a timely message. Talk to me first about where the idea came from. How did it come to you, and then how did you put this together?
Well, I think that so many of us can understand what it is to experience heartbreak or loss or despair. And I had a monumental heartbreak last year. I had gotten married, and my about 26 days later, it just disintegrated, and for reasons I still don't know. However, through it and through being in the fetal position, crying out to God for a year, I woke up one morning and I really heard a resounding, turn your pain into a purpose. And I'm still in that pain, but I have managed to dig deep and collaborate with several people on this project, and I wanted to help others understand that they have a Heavenly Father and to press in and seek Him first. It says, the Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you, and that He will work all things together for good for those who serve Him. And He is our Father to the fatherless, literally. And I have a earthly father. I do. And he's wonderful and I love him and he has helped me through this. But in those moments when he couldn't necessarily be right with me, I really, really pressed in and I leaned on God, and he'd kind of directed my path in this whole process.
And your song says that. You say that your father is your sole provider.
He is. And in the lyrics, in the chorus say, I'm somebody's daughter. My father is the king. He's my sole provider. The victory will be his. And soul meaning S-O-U-L. Mm-hmm. He is my sole provider. He provides all that I need. And we will all go through some form of brokenness in our life. We all do. And I just want, even if it's just one person, to understand that God is there. He's accessible. Just reach out to him.
I also enjoy the message because it speaks to young men. It speaks to men as well. I'm one of four boys, and I was thinking as I heard the lyrics that my father would always tell me that respecting your partner, respecting that woman in your life, respecting that special person in your life is so important. Never make assumptions.
Without a doubt, David, that is absolutely correct. And I have been told that by, you know, people I've been with, that they, you know, I know that you're somebody's daughter, and I am. And so this is not an interview about the negative. It's an interview about the positive. And how can we as a society respect one another? And if you are dating and marriage is an extremely important responsibility. And if you want to put someone's heart down, do it with grace so that the next person that comes along doesn't have to piece it back together. And it's really just loving one another and having compassion and empathy towards one another. And it doesn't mean you have to be with someone that you date or marry. I get that. But it's really how you go about resolving and dissolving it.
We're talking with Corey Oliver, and the song is I'm Somebody's Daughter. We are going to play more of it later in the program. I want to come back to this. You are someone who helps many marriages. Your ministry is about marriages. One of the biggest things happening right now is the intrusion of pornography into relationships. I mean, it is everywhere. It is on our devices. I mean, it is at our fingertips. How much damage is that doing just from the work you know and do?
Well, that is a great question. The Bible says, feast your eyes on things that are lovely, things that are noble, things that are pure. And when we allow that stuff to get in, I say it's kind of demonic, but for the lack of, you know, in the secular world.
No, but it is. It is demonic.
It is. And if you allow that in, it will divide you from God. And it tears you apart, and it will get in your marriage and your friendships and your life. And it's almost like a cancer. I've never seen those things. I don't watch those things. If they can't pop up, I immediately, because they are a mental imprint. And it's important for the youth, especially, to say no, to turn it off, because it's a muscle that you continue to work out by saying no, 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 thank you. And it really is, it contaminates the brain. It does. And I think that we have a responsibility to ourselves to do the best we can to really push it away and not entertain it.
Young people are really bombarded with this content right now. And I'm concerned also about this trend, Corey, that young people don't feel that there needs to be an exchange of vows. People today are living together. They say, we're committed, but we don't have to be married. We don't need that piece of paper. But you talk about that in the song. You talk about honor and vows. Tell me what you see as the big difference between just shacking up and being husband and wife or spouses.
Well, I have been married twice. I did not leave either marriage, and I respect and still respect, even the pain I've gone through, I still respect the institution of marriage. I fought for the institution of marriage between my first and my second marriage. I waited 18 years in between. I think marriage is a beautiful covenant that God designed and created, and I'm not going to judge anybody. I personally wouldn't live with somebody before I got married. I want to be married. I want to do it under God's law, but I would not judge anyone. But I think that in general, marriage is being diluted, and it is a problem, and it grieves me, because I don't know that God intended us to just go from one to another to another to another. It's hard being married. It's hard being in a relationship, but if you can stick it out, work together, do not let any outside influences in, and press in and pray together and put God first, then each other, I believe you can work through anything and love prevails. I do believe that. Even though I haven't had the chance, I preach to people and I minister to people, and I've seen people that are literally packed and going their separate ways come back together. It's funny, because for a while I was passing out the movie Fireproof to everyone I knew. And it's a great tool and example of keeping your marriage solid and using some tools. But, you know, marriage can be a really beautiful thing. I don't know why I have this journey. Maybe it's to be here today and help one person, in which case I will accept that. But I will not give up on the institution of marriage. And I will not give up on hope and love and God, because he certainly hasn't given up on me.
Mm. Corey, I'm going to tell you, you've said so much in those words. Relationships right now are being attacked. We know the force that's attacking relationships. We know why it's under siege. Mm-hmm. You say that praying together is the biggest defense. But a man meets someone like you, or he sees you here in Los Angeles. I mean, you, of course, have been in the entertainment industry. You know that it's almost like they're incompatible. How do you maintain faith, and yet you've had a career in the entertainment industry? How do you manage both? How do you find that balance? How do you keep your faith and your integrity?
Well, the enemy's a liar, and he tries to come and rob, steal, and destroy. And so he's going to tell, you know, you and other people that one thing, but maintaining your faith is a personal journey. I press in, I pray. I've been hit hard like everybody else. Everybody has a story. Everyone does.
But no one, look, I saw you this morning when I, you know, when you arrived. No one seeing you on the street would ever imagine that you would be going through things like this, because they would see an actress, they would see someone who's been highly successful and continues to be a creative. And you can't create unless you feel that you can still have your soul.
Oh, I cannot tell you that the extraordinary pain. I will tell you, David, that this was the first time in my life, and I've been through a lot of pain, and I'm going to continue to roll out stories on the Instagram and et cetera to help people understand. But this was the first time I felt like I was going to die. And I have a relationship with God. And I felt like, oh, this is physically taking me down. I loved this person so much. And I realized that, you know, there's nothing you can do when somebody else believes others. There's nothing you can do. You have to just, that's the way it is. They just believe other people. And I think that drawing near to him, staying close to God, pressing in and praying, it only refines your relationship with the Lord. And that's all I can be responsible for is me.
Pardon me. I didn't mean to. It's okay. I mean, you're just evoking within me so many questions I want to ask you. But the song talks about that embrace, a woman's face lighting up when she sees someone she loves. I mean, that's a beautiful expression when someone is receiving that gaze, that look. Let's listen in again. This is the song, I'm Somebody's Daughter.
I know she will love you more than the last, and overlook the demons of your past. That's why you'll race to get on one knee and shout from the rooftop, please marry me. She has told herself he's the one who will stay. He's the one who will never throw her heart away. She thought forgiveness and grace would always be. 'Cause this time someone's daughter is me.
Now, Corey, I know our listeners, and they're so lovely listeners, they're going to want to get a copy of the song. Where can we get the song? I want my daughters to hear it. I want my brothers to hear it. I want the world to hear it. Where can we get it?
Thank you so much, David. It's currently on iTunes and Spotify. And it's...
Go there!
99 cents. It's like the 99 cent store.
You were talking about those dark days. And I don't want to take you back into a time that was difficult, but there are people listening who are in despair and they're in pain. Help us to help them. How do you make it through the day when someone you've become vulnerable to betrays you or says you're not good enough? Or through their actions, maybe they don't say it, but they show you things that are very, very detrimental. How do you handle it?
First of all, that's a great question, and it is only through the heartbreak that I've learned exactly how I personally would handle it. But I could tell you that the mornings are the hardest. Waking up and feeling that heaviness, and how do I get out of bed? How do I put my foot on the floor, Lord? And the first thing I said is, I forgive him. I forgive him. And carrying unforgiveness around is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Mm. And it is imperative that even though you might not feel it, voice it.
But didn't you also go through a time as you're trying to reconcile yourself with what's going on? Did you ever hate? Did you get angry?
I'm going to be honest, and yes, I still am a little bit angry because I love the person that was presented to me, and I forgive him, and I still love him, and I want the best for him because I know God does too.
But maybe the anger isn't directed at him as much as it could be what happened. And again, I'm not trying to walk
exactly.
in your shoes. I'm just trying to understand what you're saying.
It's exactly right. And I think that in an effort to move forward, if you can do something positive and or help someone that day or turn your pain into your purpose or just literally throw yourself down on the floor and pray, it helps with that frustration and that anger and that bitterness and that resentment and that in unforgiveness. And you don't want to carry that around because that will make you sick.
So the moment comes when you say, I can't handle this anymore. You take my load. You handle it for me.
Yes, and not to bring up too many other songs, but I think Carrie Underwood said it best in Jesus, Take the Wheel.
Take the wheel.
Yeah, right?
Oh, Corey. Corey Oliver is with us in studio. What a wonderful conversation. And yet, it starts off with pain, but today you are turning that into so much good for so many people. I want to come back to something you also reflect, I think, with life. It doesn't have to be with words only. Values. What does that mean to you today? Values.
Values to me mean, I think we've come into this world and the society, which you touched on a little bit earlier, David, which I love, is that it's an iPhone, iBook, iPad, I, me world.
And right now.
And right now. And the fact is that your values are your word, being loyal, being honest, doing what you say you're going to do. Those are values to me. And I know that it's sometimes difficult, but, you know, we are the author of our own misery. And values are important to maintain, and they, I do believe they transfer into generational assignments and curses, if you will. I know that sounds deep, but...
Well, no, because parents then, they project a model for their children, and children watch what parents say and do. What do you think?
I completely agree, and I think that it's important for us as parents to be good examples. And it's difficult. We are on our phones all the time, and it's very, very difficult. And I feel like it's, and I do this too. It's become our way to reach out to society and all over the world. And it has its positive aspects. But at the end of the day, when you go home, turn your phone off, be with your family, 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 family first. And it's a house divided cannot stand, right?
You know what? That's a great idea. Just turn it off.
I have a friend who I won't mention her name, but she has a basket. And when her kids come home and her husband come home, they put their phones in the basket and they enjoy their family time.
That's it.
It can wait. I actually know an executive at NBC who still only goes through emails. He doesn't even have a cell phone. And he's the head of NBC. And I think to myself, how do you do that? And he's doing it quite nicely. So
this notion that we have to multitask, I think it's a myth, and I think it's something we're being sold. Yeah. Because really, to really enjoy life, we have to take time to get to know one another and live in the moment. I see people sometimes at dinner tables in restaurants, and I have to say I've done it myself.
But me too.
Before they have dinner, they take a photo of their dinner, and they're sending it to friends. And I'm thinking, but you're missing the whole moment with the person who's with you.
And it's probably a first date.
No.
It's like, wait a minute. I don't know. I agree with that. And I'm guilty of it too. And I have to be reminded myself.
Hey, Corey, mm-hmm. Do you intimidate guys because they find out you're God-centered, you have faith, you have integrity? I mean, what does that do?
I don't know that I do. I mean, I was married and then I was single for 18 years. I raised my daughter and I enjoyed every minute of it. And then I got in a relationship and got married again. And I haven't dated much in my life. And I don't know that I don't think I intimidate guys. I mean, I'm really just a hometown average girl that I don't need much. I would have loved to have had the chance to love.
So we come back to this song because there's something that we can all learn. Each of us will take something away from the song, but I want to get to know something about your work. In the ministry that you do and talking to people who are in relationships, how significant is the word trust? Because as a guy, when guys cheat, let me tell you, they think they're hurting the other person. No. Mm-hmm. It leaves an imprint in them mm-hmm. that will follow them the rest of their lives. And at some point, that distrust of self becomes a distrust of the other person.
David, you are spot on today.
No, I mean, because I've seen it. So my question to you is, how significant is this in your work?
You're absolutely right. I've never personally, I can honestly say, hand to God, I've never cheated. I've never thought about cheating. If I'm in a relationship, I'm solely committed. I love that person. That's that. But having said that, I've been cheated on. And you're right. The people that I've been with that have cheated on me don't trust at all. And it's because they don't trust themselves. And the truth is, I don't know why people cheat. I think that, and I've seen people come back and be together after someone's cheated and trust again. Very difficult.
But isn't it really like China that you've glued back together with super glue? It always has that crack.
Yes, but as they say in China, they fill it with gold. So if you fill that crack with the Lord and his faith, and that gold, I think it can be stronger than ever. I do. I've seen it happen. It's a really big leap of faith. But I do know it exists and can be done. But to your original point and question, trust is probably one of the most valuable attributes of a relationship of any kind. Brother, sister, mother, daughter, friend.
So may we take that in our daily lives. Yeah. Corey, where do you go from here? Talk to me about your future. What do you want to do now?
Well, I always say this, and I've been quoted as saying this, if you share God's plan, if you want to see God laugh, share your plan. So I have many big, big plans. But as like with this song, I had no idea this was going to come about this year, but he did. So it's really his song, God's song. And I have been blessed to have Jordan Smith and Priya and Lily Carson in it singing. Various parts. They're all different ages. They're, you know, from 14 to 49. And so it's, I don't know where I go. Wherever God wants me to go, I'll go. I'm literally in the car with Carrie Underwood, and I'm in the passenger seat.
So you're letting go of that idea that you have to control your career, and you're saying, Lord, take me wherever you want me to go.
Yes, and years ago, I had taken 13 years off to raise my daughter, mm-hmm. and I said to the Lord, you know, I actually said to Ariana, I want to go back to acting, and she said, well, okay, Mommy, let's pray about it, and so I did, and we did, and I was in the kitchen one day, and I said, God, your word says, delight yourself in the Lord, and you'll give us the desires of our heart. If you don't want me to do this, take it out of my heart. Give me a different desire, and the next 3 days, I got God's Not Dead and Beverly Hills Pawn, and he was my agent. So it's in his hands, David.
30 seconds before we go back and close out with the song, but I want to ask you this. Someone is listening right now, and they're going through that pain. Tell them about how beautiful tomorrow will be.
Indeed. I promise you, whoever is suffering right now, that I promise you tomorrow will be beautiful. And really just throw your hands up, look up to the sky and say, God, help me. I need you to steer this ship and guide me. Give me direction and reveal to me what you want. And he will, I promise you. And you can always DM me in my Instagram, which is CoreyOliver1. And I will pray for anyone. I can't emphasize that enough. I get tons of prayer requests a day, and I will always take time to pray.
Corey Oliver, it's been such a sincere joy to have you. I hope you'll come back soon.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me today.
You're a rock star.
Thank you.
Young lady, thank you. And I want to thank you for listening. We leave you today with another moment of I'm Somebody's Daughter. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you again. Bye-bye.
I'm somebody's daughter. My father is a king. He's my sole provider. The victory will be his. Oh.
covenant, that divine encounter, that bond forever, should not have been so easy for you to sever.
I'm somebody's daughter.
I pray your sons honor and protect their vows, instead of listening to those demons when they said to bow.
I'm somebody's daughter.
I'm somebody's daughter.